Good morning. Like I said, it's already been said, He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that even hell and all of hell's angels couldn't hold Him back? God defeated death. And because of that, this morning, we are full of hope. I'm full of hope for this church, for these people. Thank you for being here today. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 20. The encouragement of Easter. Boy, it's a lot of encouragement here. A lot of power here. Friday, Jesus was crucified. But it's Sunday, and He is risen. Amen? And Easter is all about change. And He changed the world. And let me tell you, Easter is the greatest day on the calendar. Do you know that? The greatest day. Gives us hope. Why? Because today's story of the empty tomb is, somebody's already said it this morning, the second half of the story of Christmas. Easter changed everything. Before we start the text to listen, I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says this: For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not His death, His life. If He wouldn't have come out of that tomb, we'd be some sad folks this morning. Believe me. Jesus came out of that tomb to make a difference, not just with the future, but with your life this morning. If you have Christ, you have resurrected life. You were dead spiritually, and now you're alive spiritually. You know, the word in Christ, and we've been, you know, in Ephesians the last few weeks, and you know, 75 times in the New Testament, the two words are in Christ. I hope every one of you here this morning, before you leave this building, if there's one or two or three, whatever is here that are not in Christ, that before we leave this building, you'll be in Christ. Because that's your only hope. Easter isn't for religious people. No, He came for people like you and me, that have messed up and that we've failed and we've fallen. If you came here this morning and you aren't religious, I've got some good news for you. This is your day. I don't know what is going on in your life. Maybe you have a dead marriage or a dead career or dead dreams. Whatever's dead in your life. Jesus came out of that tomb to tell you that my Father had the power to raise me from the dead, and He can raise you too. And He can bring life into your light. He can bring light into your life. You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 32? He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The sick need a doctor, not the well people. Easter is God's invitation this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the encouragement of Easter. The encouragement is that you can have a changed life. I talked to a young man this week, and he lost his job. He's very close to me and dear to me. But he has hope, and his hope is in God. What is it today that you would like to change about your life? What is it that today you would like to walk out of here headed in a new direction in your life? Everyone in this sanctuary, we have something in our lives that we would like to change. I know I do. I'm not perfect. Far from it. Some of you are here today because you know you can do better. You just don't know how to get there. Some of you think you're going to heaven because you're a good person. And you are a good person. But see, heaven is a perfect place. Did you know that? It's a pure place, where no sin can enter. In fact, if sin entered into heaven, it no longer is pure. Even a smallest sin. The Bible says, there is none good, no, not one. I mean, if you could live a perfect life, we wouldn't need Easter. we wouldn't need a Savior. But God would never have sent His Son to die on a cross for you and me if we could have done it on our own goodness. We can't. I'm sure that many of you out there are better than I am. I hope so. But I am not the comparison. God's not going to compare you to your neighbor or to your friends or even to your pastor. He will compare you to His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect in every way, lived a perfect life. See, if you're not perfect, you can't come into heaven. Now take your, if you would stand with me, if you can, John chapter 20. I'm going to look at this passage. Peter and John just left the grave, and they were overwhelmed and weren't sure what to believe. The disciples went away. But verse 11, look at verse 11. Now, but Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other on the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. And when they said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she knew not that it was Jesus. She didn't know him. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen what she had seen, the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, how we need you today. How we are so thankful for a risen Savior, a living God, one who is powerful, all-knowing, all-wise. Thank you, Lord, for that empty tomb today. Thank you for those that are here this morning that are in Christ, who have hope in Him. And Lord, we pray you'll bless your word as we go forth. And this day, this marvelous day, Lord, as we see the beauty of this day and the beauty of the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Most of us think of change on the outside. Do you know that today there are thousands of people that are selling you things to change you on the outside? They're getting rich on some of you ladies. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Forgive me. Some of you men are very vain. That's what's happening. A lot of people. God wants to change you this morning. And He knows that change doesn't start on the outside. Real change starts on the inside. It moves through your heart and spirit. And some people change their names, hoping for change. And changing your name isn't going to work. The encouragement of Easter is God is alive. And God desires to be alive in you, to change you. God's message to you this morning is, I don't care where you have been or what you have done, you can start over. Aren't you glad? Has anybody ever started over here? Well, I'm sure we got a few hands on that one. But God offers forgiveness, and He offers His power in your life to bring change. And He knows how tough life can be down here on this earth, this fallen world we live in. Our God lives. And you say, I know He's alive. But do you really know that this morning? Do you really know it? He really, really is alive. Some of you that doubt that have some good company. In fact, there were two disciples the day of the resurrection, that resurrection afternoon, and they're on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't know that Jesus was walking with them. And in John 20, Mary goes to the tomb, and he's alive, but she doesn't know that. In John chapter 20, verse 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And the two disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 16 says, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Thomas was told that Jesus was alive, and he said, I'm not going to believe it. I won't believe it until I put my hands in his nail-scarred hands and into the side that I saw the spear was pierced. Peter was fishing and after the resurrection, and Jesus came to him, and he didn't recognize him. If Peter and the two disciples that walked with Jesus for 3 years and Mary could come to an empty tomb, and Thomas, who was there all those years together with them, if they came to a place that they didn't know him, that he was alive, what makes you think that you know, that you could recognize him, that Jesus is alive? He is alive. And that's the encouragement of Easter. The encouragement of Easter is threefold truth, and I want to give it to you this morning. Number one, he comforts us in our desperation. He is alive, and when Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb, I want to tell you, he walked back into a troubled world much like the one we're in today. Are we in trouble? We could spend all day on that one, couldn't we? Don't get the idea, because it was Bible times that everything was rosy. It wasn't. There were 5 million people in Jerusalem that were slaves. And the babies, many of them, hardly any of them made them past the age of 6. They died young. Things were so bad. Plagues spread throughout the world unchecked. Taxes were such a burden. And it was on everybody's lips. People worried and people wept. When I look at this world today, I know that I'm a dying man preaching to dying people. But I'm also a hurting man preaching to hurting people. I know there's a lot of pain out there today. Well, do you get tired of the violence? Do you get tired of evil? Tired of domestic violence? See, we want to be a church that helps hurting people, don't we? We're not a showcase for saints. I believe this church is a hospital for sinners. Because Jesus came out of the tomb to say to you and me, I am alive and I can make a difference in your life, and I want to comfort you in your desperation. And look at verse 11, 12, and 13. I want you to see why Mary needed the encouragement of Easter. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the end and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. She needed the encouragement of Easter. Because first thing you notice, she was filled with the wrong emotions. Look at verse 11. It said that Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And it wasn't just weeping. The Greek word there means sobbing. She was sobbing. She was weeping loud and long. And it was lament. She was sobbing loudly, and it was loud, it was long. And he's gone. And her hopes were dashed. It's long. See, weeping with no hope is long. It's loud. It's desperate. Do you know there's many people today that have no hope? They stand at that coffin and they say, there's no hope. I'll never see them again. It's hard to see the truth through the tears. It's hard to see God in your grief. And some of you here today, you have been hurt and you've been hurt by people. And you've been hurt by pain. And life has brought you far more pain than you ever thought it would. It's hard for you to believe that God helps and God feels your pain and God comforts and God is alive. It's not that you don't believe that. It's that you're coming today just like Mary with the wrong emotion. I don't know everything about you. I don't know why your loved one died. I can't explain everything. But I serve a living, risen Savior. And this is the world today. And He comes to bring comfort to us. In fact, I spoke with Him this morning before I came. He assured me I'd get through this. And when I'm through with the wrong emotion, He comes to help because tears can be a veil to blind you from seeing Jesus. And that's what Paul was trying to say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. You know, we just studied this a few weeks ago. Did you remember? No, you don't remember. It says in verse 19 and 20, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places." Do you remember reading that now? No. Okay. The same power is available today for you. And let me tell you, it's not willpower that helps. It's God's power that helps. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you. That's the encouragement of Easter. And she came with the wrong emotion, but she was also looking in the wrong direction. Some of you are looking in the wrong direction. When you have dead dreams and when you have a dead career, and displaced and dissatisfied, many times you're looking the wrong direction. John in look at chapter 20 again, look at verse 13 and 14. "Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they've laid him.'" Verse 14. "Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know who Jesus was." She turned around. Do you know why Jesus brought some of you here today? He wants to turn you around. You're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking at the world. Worldly possessions. That's what makes you significant. Don't look to the world for your value. Your value and your valuables are not the same. That's wrong. God is saying you are looking in the wrong direction. And you can even look to religion. And that won't help you. Some have said, if your religion doesn't change you, then you need to change your religion. Listen, Mary talked with the angels. Have you talked to the angels lately? I don't think so. That did not excite her because religion is not what changes a person's life. A Buddhist, a Hindu, a Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're all religions. They're dead religions, following dead gods. Don't put Christianity in the same category. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is man trying to reach up to God. Christianity is a relationship with God Himself, who gave His life for you. See, we can't reach out on our own power. He even gives us the power. He even reaches toward us. He even draws us by His Holy Spirit. He gives us life by His resurrection power. Well, she came with the wrong emotion, and she was looking in the wrong direction. And third, she came with the wrong expectation. Don't miss this. Notice when she said, "Where have you laid him?" She wasn't thinking that she was coming to a tomb that was empty and Jesus was alive. No. She would have been very satisfied in finding a historical Jesus that had died. That's what she was looking for. Do you know what I have discovered? That there aren't many Sundays that we come expecting resurrection power or meeting with a living Savior. Pastor, I'm coming today. I'm going to meet with Him. He's alive. Not regularly. See, we let the world beat us down. We let the world beat us up. Some of you came today with what I would call a historical expectation of Jesus. See, what you're worshiping today may be a feeling. You may be worshiping what used to be yesterday. You used to read the Bible. You used to go to church. You used to pray. You used to feel connected to God. Not anymore. You quit. And when you came today, did you really come with a belief in His resurrection power? He can change your marriage. He's changed mine. He can change my life. He's changed mine. He can put your feet on solid ground. I'm almost there. This pulpit's helping, Doug. Don't be critical about Mary, because that's many of us. And this is the encouragement of Easter. Number one, He comforts us in our times of desperation. And He comes to us through revelation. And when you seek God, He will make Himself known to you. Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, how I love Jeremiah. He has a future for you, he says. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says this, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me," how? "With all your heart." That's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. Right now I'm praying this for several people I've been trying to talk to that just can't seem to find Jesus, can't find God. One of them even said this week, I just have no purpose. My life has no purpose. Oh, it can have purpose. Your life can have purpose today. God will reveal Himself to you when you seek Him. He comes to us in times of our brokenness, in times of our pain. He comes to us through revelation. He will reveal Himself to you. All you've got to do, it says right here, just seek me. And I'll guarantee you'll find me. With a pure heart. Do you know what Mary needed? Mary just needed to hear a familiar voice. Look at John 20. Look at verse 16. When Jesus said in verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping? Woman, who are you seeking?" It didn't move her. But look at verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary. Just the way He said it. She turned and said to Him, "Rabboni, Rabboni, it's you, you're alive." What was Jesus doing? He was revealing Himself to her. His voice was familiar. He called her name. You know, God does not always speak to us in an audible voice, but He speaks in a familiar voice. You can know it's Him. Did you know that? Has He ever spoken to you? Maybe not verbally, but I have heard that sweet, silent voice in my heart so many times. "Richard, why did you do that?" The devil comes to you and condemns you. God comes to you and He says, "Oh, Richard, when you said that to your wife yesterday, it broke my heart." Ooh, then it breaks my heart. Remember the two disciples in Luke 24, verse 25 and 26. He said to them, "O foolish ones." The word "foolish ones," it means of no mind. So your relationship with Jesus Christ starts in your mind. You have to open up your mind that there is a possibility that there is a real God, that He is alive. There's a God that wants to change me. And these disciples are walking along and Jesus wants to reveal Himself to them. And first He talks to them about their mind. And then He says they're slow of heart. He talks about their heart. And watch this. Then he says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? And then he talks about the Bible. Look at verse 27. He says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They were there for a while. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Jesus told all of the things about him that were in the Old Testament. They didn't have a New Testament. It's the Bible that leads us to know God in a greater way. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Preach the Bible. It's Jesus' cure for a broken heart. It's God working through Jesus in our lives. You know the old song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus? Well, we had some great music. Thank you. Thank you, music people. Daphne, thank you. Tell me the stories of Jesus. Write them on my heart every day. He started at Moses. And he said, and there I was, and there I was, and there I was. The scarlet thread throughout all the Old Testament is Jesus. Read the book of Isaiah. Question, do you have a difficult situation in your life right now? Do you have an enemy that you're fearful of? Read the Bible. This past week, has anybody seen the House of David? Did you like it? Yeah. The first one is a little slow. But there's six of them. Almost 6 hours, 6:50 minutes. Sharon and I have been so blessed. The guy that plays David can really sing like David sang. And the harp is great. But that's not it. They show the power of God. You wait to that last minute and the power comes through. David wasn't sure, I don't think. But he knew that his God was faithful. The story of David and Goliath. But have some people hurt you and wounded you so bad that you feel like walking away from God? Read the story of Joseph. I think I might preach on Joseph. I love that story. Joseph, his brothers, these wonderful brothers, 13 years in prison. And what does Joseph do? He forgives them. I don't know I could do that. Do you have a wall towering over you today? Is there a wall that you can't seem to get over? Think of Joshua and Jericho and how the wall came tumbling down. God's power. Do you feel like no one loves you? Pastor, nobody cares about me. Read the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you. He paid a price I could not pay. He paid it. And there's a few people here, I believe somebody here this morning, I really believe there's somebody here this morning that hasn't received that gift. It's a gift. It's already paid. Man, if you had the greatest gift ever given to man down in the bank and it was already paid for and all you had to do was go down and collect it, you'd go right away. And God has paid a price that you can't pay. No one but Jesus could pay the price for your soul. And it's paid. Boy, don't try to leave this world without that. Because it's not a pretty picture. Do you feel dead inside? Read the Bible. Jesus came out of that tomb to walk on this earth, to comfort you in your times of desperation, to come to you through revelation. That's what he came to do. But lastly, here's the lesson. But lastly, he came to do something else. He came to change us by invitation. He invited us to have a relationship with him. He's saying this morning, I want to have a relationship with you. He invites us first, then we invite him. And, oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Please don't leave me, Jesus. That's kind of what Mary did Look at verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Why did Jesus ask those questions? He knew the answers. He asked those questions because he's still asking them today. Watch this. What do you feel? Who are you seeking? Who are you really seeking today? When Jesus said, "Mary," she grabbed hold of him. And the Bible says in verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not cling to me." And that word in the Greek means that stop holding on to me. He wasn't risen. He said, I have not been raised yet to the Father. I'm not the purification is not all done yet. You're clinging to me." And with a new revelation comes a new relationship. Don't miss this new relationship. Why did Jesus say, "Don't touch me"? Jesus was saying, "Mary, you're no longer going to live on the plane of touch and feel and taste." You know, there's so much preaching today about feelings. Grab it and claim it and name it. God becomes our heavenly bellhop. God wants everyone wealthy. No, he doesn't. Some of us need to be poor. Jesus will come to us by invitation. And God can heal you. And Mary opened up her mind to God's power. And you don't change by trying harder. You open your mind to find that God is real. And he wants to change you. And he wants to repeat. He wants to repent. He wants you to repent of your sin. And you can really be saved. You know, some people haven't prayed about their problem. They freeze up when it comes to God's claim on their lives. They say God helps those that help themselves. That's in the Bible, right? No, Ben Franklin said it, and he's not God. God helps those who trust in him. Those that admit that they're sinners. Those that know they have a need of him. Those that open their minds to him. Most of all, those that open their hearts. God wants to have your heart. Ephesians 4:18, I'm closing. Paul said in verse 18, chapter 4, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts." You don't have to be spiritually ignorant today for the rest of your life. Why have you been away from God? Ask yourself that question. You're missing so much. There's some really neat relationships in this church here. I've watched it over the last year. Really neat relationships. You're missing something. But the greatest relationship is that with the Lord Jesus. Would you please stand with me? And our musicians, if you come, we're going to sing number 273. Christ alone. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our hope for eternal life. Please. This altar is open. You want to come forward? I'd be glad to pray with you. We have a deacon that will be here. I think Doug will be here, or Jim. I'm not sure. Our deacon will be over here. And so if you want to pray with one of us, and maybe that decision, we'll take some time with you this morning and pray that prayer and get it settled, that relationship. It's the greatest thing you could ever do.